Dive into the dynamic world of high school sports. Whether you're a seasoned athletic director, a newcomer to the field, or simply curious to learn more about this exciting profession, this podcast is your go-to resource for inspiration, education, and a deeper understanding of the game-changing decisions that shape the world of high school athletics. Welcome back to AD360. I'm Greg Vandermeer. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Scott Rosenberg. Scott, looks like you might be at a remote location today. You doing anything fun on site for this recording? Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, man. My background was getting famous, so I had to change it up to some vent above me in a coffee shop. Sorry. My daughter's in a school and in a musical for camp or something coming up, so just headed out close to there. But awesome. It's summertime. It's cool to be able to do all these different things. How about you?
You know, I'm in a similar boat. I'm still in the same boring location. So sorry, fans, I don't have anything fun to update you for the backgrounds on that front. But, you know, summertime, you got to take advantage of it to be able to go out and do those things with your family. Obviously, we had done a great episode about being able to recharge and step away for a little bit. And it's important for Scott and I to do the same thing on our end still during the summer. So glad to see that you're able to get out and enjoy some time with the family, Scott. But regardless of location, as they say in showbiz, the show must go on. So I'm pretty excited to get talking to you about this topic. It's one that's top of mind for probably every athletic director. Hopefully we don't strike a wrong chord in talking about it too soon. And it is back to school planning. So hopefully by the time you're viewing this, you're already back in the full swing of things and we're not trying to put a damper on your summer vacation. But Scott and I are really excited to talk to you all about some back to school planning today. So with that said, why don't we go ahead and just kick things off? You know, Scott and I will be talking through some questions as we do on every episode and, you know, walking through our points of view, hopefully providing some good insights for you. So I'll start it off simply. This time of year, school's around the corner, tons of responsibilities for an athletic director in terms of back to school planning. What are some of your top of mind things? What is the typical responsibility of an AD as they begin planning back to school, Scott?
I guess I would start out with what isn't, right? I mean, in the end, it seems like there's so many responsibilities. And so I guess from my perspective, the most important thing is to stay organized and plan ahead. Because if you just let like summer roll by, you know as well as I do, it ends very quickly. It's here before you know it. And if you just put everything on that back burner, you're going to stress yourself out and it's going to become difficult for you to get everything done that you need to at the beginning. So I think creating a document for yourself that you can check off would be helpful. What's at top of mind? Schedules, making sure your fall schedules at the least, right, are all set and in place. Obviously, everything that goes with the schedule would be referees, transportation, athletic trainer, game workers. Starting to put that together in terms of like who's going to be working at games, making sure, I mean, it's football season for most people. Who's going to be your football announcer? That's not one you want to try and grab at the last minute. Figuring out who's going to be announcing your games. Maybe the most important thing is athletic clearances at this time of the year. Making sure that kids can step onto the field when tryouts begin. I've said this a million times, probably on these episodes too, like there is not a more emotional time of the year for coaches, parents, and student athletes than the first couple of days of practice. You know that. Like some kids have spent their whole lives getting ready to start trying out for high school, or they've spent this whole off season getting ready to try out. Man, if they can't walk onto the field and practice on day one, there's a ton of emotion that comes with that. And there's no good way to sort of like cut down on that emotion and lower the level. It's just, it's heated no matter what. So that's another one. Coaching staff, making sure that's in place. New equipment that's coming in, I would also throw in there. And then just setting up like preseason meetings with coaches, teams, and parents. All those things I would be thinking about right now.
I couldn't echo you more on that. I mean, like it's same for me. You know, it was a lot of be proactive in planning as much as you can, because the world of an athletic director, you can plan as much as you want. But my grandmother used to have an old saying, if you want to make God laugh, make plans, you know, because like as ADs, everything's ever changing, right? But the most proactive you can be in assuring that things are set up, communicating to your programs, communicating to your parents. I think the athletic clearance is a huge one, because every single year there was always somebody. There was always somebody. And to your point, you know, emotions are high. They want to get back to competing. They want to be able to try and win their spots, try and get those jobs that are open. So there are times you have to have those difficult conversations about not being able to go out and practice today because you didn't do everything that needed to be done. But from an AD perspective, you need to make sure that you are communicating that clearly in advance, providing the opportunities. I think to your point as well, when we're talking about like facility management, the school I was at, we were limited in terms of our facilities. And it wasn't just focusing on the fall sports. You were focusing on everybody that was coming back to campus and providing them opportunities. So the scheduling piece was always one of those that you had to stay on top of, make sure that your calendars are accurate, make sure that you've communicated to the various campus departments of what's going on, when it's going on. And then you're also juggling back to school items from the school side, you know, and you're having to put that into your schedule. So I always use summer as a time to recharge, if you will. But at the same time, it was always in the back of my mind, okay, did I knock these things out that need to be ready to roll come late July, early August, to ensure that I wasn't just setting myself up for failure. The pieces you had mentioned too, in terms of just like transportation, officials, coaching clearances, making sure that your coaches are up to date, and just having every I and T dotted and crossed so that you are ready to hit the ground running, because you are going to get flooded with so many different things as you come back to school from, you know, people that maybe had taken the summer off. So there's just a giant amount of work that goes into it. But I truly believe the more proactive you can be and try and chip away at the rock, if you will, throughout the summer, it makes it a lot smoother.
Yes, sir. Agreed. Bringing down the temperature of emotional situations is really difficult, especially with that clearance process. So I've always like thought that communication was important, and obviously everything else that we talked about. Talk to me about, you brought up facilities. And so especially when you have limited facilities, you're going to be getting pressure from a lot of different groups, whether it's your own teams or trying to find space for recreation departments, et cetera. Like, how do you prioritize that sports, every individual coach's needs? And by the way, I'll throw in trying to keep your athletic trainer in mind in all that, I think, is important, because you can schedule and spread out a schedule throughout an entire day and have a schedule that starts at 7 a.m. and not get done until 8 or 9 p.m. But if you're expecting, let's say, your athletic trainer to be there during that 14-hour period, I'm not so sure that that's being fair to them.
No, and I think that those are great points, you know, and it's a good question to ask, because the prioritization of the facility scheduling, that's a big piece of it, right? And one of the things that I did was I always had open lines of communication. I was very transparent with all of our sport coaches. And I would jokingly and lovingly tell them at the same time, there are going to be times of the year that you love me, and there's going to be times of the year that you hate me when it comes down to facility scheduling. But I am going to be the same guy across the board for all sports, ensuring that there's equity there, that all sports are able to have the same representation and ability to use the facilities. Really what I kind of did was I looked at it as like in season, on deck, off season, right? And that was really my priority in terms of facility assignment. Like, I would sit down with every coach prior to the school year starting, find out what their requests are, being completely honest with them, saying, hey, I'm going to do everything I can for you, but you need to realize where you're sitting right now in that ecosystem in terms of your season. So in-season sports would get the priority. Where I was at, that was always, we want stuff immediately after school, right? After that, then it became, who's on deck? Who's going to be up next season? So you're looking at your winter sports, being able to prioritize them to get them their facility utilization. And then the off-season sports, then you're fitting them in where you best can. And we were fortunate enough just with we were a block schedule, and there was an athletic block built into it, which made it a little bit easier on my end, because then I at least had a 70-minute window a couple times a week where I could say, hey, you're either utilizing strength and conditioning or you're going to your various venues, assuming that they're on-site, obviously. And being able to utilize that time for practices for those off-season teams or those teams that are about to be going in season. But it was making sure that we were giving the right priorities to those sports that were in season, providing them the best opportunity to have those practice times. And the difficult piece was one that you had mentioned, was the athletic training piece, because you want to be able to have somebody available at all times. That's where it comes back to ensuring that your coaches are also, you know, emergency response ready and CPR first aid certified, and that they can handle things if they're going to have to do something, because an athletic trainer can't be available 24 hours a day. And making sure that you have those emergency action plans in place and communicating to those coaches, hey, you will or will not have athletic training coverage based upon the time that you're going. So it was always a unique time of year of setting those schedules. And then you would just redo it again when it came to winter, and you'd do it again when it came to spring. It was just a revolving door. But the communication piece to the coaches and letting them know, like, hey, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just letting you know where we sit in this current time of year. I was fortunate to have the lion's share of my coaches being very understanding of that. Of course, you always have your outliers that'll come in and be like, well, I just want after school every day from August until June, make it happen, right? So definitely a communication piece and doing the best you can with what you have.
Yeah. I mean, right on. It's, I think two things I would comment on here. One is when I listen to you and the fact that you had an athletic block of time, and things like, or even that you had to accommodate for off-season coaches, it speaks to how different it is across the country based on, number one, like what state you're in. Number two, are you in a public or a private school? Number three, what do your facilities look like? Like New Jersey, our coaches really couldn't coach in the off-season. There was very little of that except for the open summer season, so I didn't have to worry about providing them space. California, you did. Athletic block, yeah. Like, talk to me, man. Like, let me get that in place in all the schools that I know. That would be simply amazing, but probably not realistic in a whole bunch of places. So it's so different. And two, you said it right at the very end of it. It was literally the tip of my tongue. And it's like you've got these varying expectations from coaches. And I think as an athletic director, it's not going to happen immediately, but as you get sort of like your feet wet, more tenure in a place, you've got to start making sure that the coaches that you bring in have the holistic perspective of the athletic department. If a coach comes into you and says, hey, I'm the coach of this sport and we're the most important in this school and we're the most this, those are the people, from my perspective, that they may be amazing, but it's hard to have them in longevity with those kind of people. And I think it hurts the culture of the entire athletic department. So those are the kind of people, honestly, I would try and steer away from my department and get rid of them at some point. It just doesn't work, especially at, I guess, maybe some of the smaller schools. But it makes it that much harder.
Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you've got to take that holistic approach, right? Because it is, we're all rowing in the same direction. We're all trying to provide an athletic department, not just a specific sport program, to our student athletes and being able to serve them. So couldn't agree with you more. Next question for you that I think is always a good one for us to chat on. How do athletic directors engage with not only just coaches, but teachers, parents, really to ensure that everybody's on the same page, you know, from a communication standpoint, and ensuring that they know, and essentially expectation setting, you know, how do you do that as you're beginning the year?
I mean, I think obviously over communication is important, and getting all those stakeholders involved is critical in that. I mean, an AD has to do their homework from the whole school perspective. Like we just talked about a coach who's only worried about his program or her program. Now you think about an athletic director, if they have the same mentality that athletics is the most important or the only important thing in all of this, they're missing the boat too. So it's like, hey, when are SAT dates? When are ACT dates happening? When is the in the fall season? Like, I don't know. When is homecoming dance? When is a school fall drama? Like, understanding the big picture of everything that's going on is important, because those things may be important to your student athletes and for their parents as well. If you're not thinking about them in the process, then you're missing the boat. And it's going to come back to haunt you, I would say, in the end. So one, like the calendar piece of this and communicating that calendar piece of this to everybody is like really important. Your coaches should know when SAT dates, ACT dates are, so that they're trying to not necessarily plan their practices around that. Hey, let's think about senior nights, right? Like, we got to make sure that our senior nights aren't in conflict with another big event going on in the building. Like, you're never going to hear the end of it. And rightfully so, from a parent of a senior who wants to be at their kid's senior night, and at the same time, there's, I don't know, back to school night or parent-teacher conferences or their other kids in the school play. Like, it's not going to go over well. So getting that in place, communicating, that's important. And then I would say, like, I would highly recommend preseason meetings. And sitting down with your coaches is one of those type of preseason meetings and outlining all this with them. And then the other type of meeting I would say is the parent meeting that can take place many different ways. I love the model of one general, let's say, fall season parent meeting, and then breaking it down by sport. So, hey, we're going to meet in a space that accommodates all the parents of all the teams for the fall season. I'm going to give you my general athletic department outline, like the information that they need to know from the athletic department, how to register your kids for sports, how to send in a note for transportation purposes. But then let's get you to break out into different classrooms or wherever it might be. And now I want you to meet with your specific coaching staff to go over team rules and team specific items. I think those go a long way. And I would even recommend, like, if you have the capabilities, doing a Zoom and recording it, let people chime in from the outside. I mean, we did that during the pandemic, right? We found a way to get everybody involved. And summertime, not everybody can be there. So finding a way that you can communicate that out to everybody. What did I miss?
I think that you just hit some great points. Like, the first one that jumps out at me is when you're talking about the campus community calendar, right? Ensuring that coaches, parents, student athletes alike are aware, because where I was at, when you talked about like performing arts, that's something that jumped out at me, was making sure that if we had an event that was taking place and it was another department's event and we were going to have, you know, limitations, whether it be parking or security or just facility use and being able to juggle all of those things, the campus calendar has to be something that you're really working things around and communicating to those various sport programs as well as their parents, so they understand, like, hey, this date we're not going to practice because X, Y, or Z, and ensuring that. And I also think that that goes a long way for your colleagues on campus, because it shows that you're paying mind to what they're doing. You're not just in a silo making decisions about your athletic department. Hey, we're king of the campus. We're going to do whatever we want. No, you're playing ball with everybody and making sure, like, hey, your events are important to us as well, and we want to ensure that they go well and that we're providing you, you know, the support on our end that we can. So I think that's a big one. Other one that I really liked, and it was something that we did as well, was, you know, those preseason kickoff meetings. I do like the Zoom element that you had mentioned. You know, that was obviously really, really relevant during the pandemic era. But I do think that it was something that I personally wish we had maybe kept that as an option, because not everybody can attend a 6 p.m. meeting on a Tuesday based on their work schedule or whatever. And you're providing them the ability to Zoom in and maybe see it, and you're recording it for those that miss it, where you can really put expectations out there, make sure that everybody understands what's going to be taking place. I think that those are some really key elements. And then the season kickoff meetings too, where you're not just looking at it from the campus perspective, but you're also outlining everything for the program and how they will need to meet the athletic department standards, from rules, regulations, guidelines, all those things. I think that those are important elements that you need to make sure that you're scheduling and putting in place, not just for your fall sports. You should be looking at that during the summer and be like, okay, when am I doing this for my winter sports? Because you and I both know the second that boat leaves the harbor and the school year kicks off, you're not going to have the time to sit there and be like, oh, okay, you know, I should really start thinking about winter sports now. Ah, it's only end of July. You're going to blink your eyes and you're going to open them and you're going to be like, it is the middle of October. Oh no, winter sports are about to kick off. What did I do to plan for this? So I think those are all very, very fantastic points to bring up.
Two things I'll add. One, those preseason meetings, you can make events out of too. Like, what about a preseason barbecue to do something like that? What if you had your meetings and then be able to like have a barbecue on campus and bring everybody together. Like they don't have to be just like stale and standing in front of a PowerPoint and then go home. Like I think you can insert some fun and some cool stuff into those meetings. And then two, I don't want to pretend like anything that we just said is easy at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a great example is, listen, you only have so many play dates in a season. And so like you sit there and you say to yourself, well, I don't really ever want to play boys soccer back to back. Like, I don't want them to have back-to-back games. But does that fit into a holistic approach of, well, maybe you have to, because even though you'd like to spread it out, 2 nights from that game is something going on at the school. And that's important also. And so, like, there's so much push and pull, and your coaches are going to come back at you and say, hey, like, I can't play back-to-back. That's not best for my team. Or I don't want to play this specific team on that date because it's an important game. And so like, it's not easy to plan around that full school calendar and trying to make everybody happy. Like you are going to make some people unhappy when you take that approach. It's just, it's a given.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. In terms of the idea of budgeting, so like you've probably done a lot of your budget coming into at this point of the summer, but there's still like push and pull when it comes to the budgeting. What are some of those things and how did you handle them?
You know, that was always kind of the X factor when it came to planning, right? Is you could set this glorious budget and you think everything's in play and you're ready to go. And something happens where equipment didn't arrive in time, or you have unexpected expenses, or there's just so many different factors that can come in where you need to be able to kind of work around those scenarios. The tough part was like, by the time you get to the season, the budget should be set. You should have at least a good idea of where that is. I always advocated for our coaches to it, as many hats as they had to wear. One of them that was always important where I was at was fundraising. You had to make sure that you had rainy day funds for when those things came up. And I like what you had mentioned about making those preseason meetings, you know, to where you're engaging with those parents within the program, because one of the things that we would use that is a relationship building item for coaches to get to know those families. Because then when fundraising came around, they could also start to help pad their budgets a little bit for when those unexpected expenses came up. That was one of the big things that we always kind of relied upon, was ensuring that we had healthy fundraising going into the respective seasons. Now, some were far better than others. There were some that just flew by the seat of their pants. And if something happened, they were going to hope that maybe the department would find a way to bail them out. And, you know, more often than not, we would find ways to make things work, but it wasn't easy. So it was making sure that those coaches understood that you shouldn't be running a budget that is just razor thin. And then the other thing that was unique to the environment I was in, we relied a lot on participation fees to be able to pay for those sports. Not every family was going to be able to afford those participation fees. Therein, you've got to kind of do your diligence from a fundraising perspective to ensure that you can assist those families, because we didn't want to turn people away. You know, so there was always kind of that level of healthy level of paranoia, if you will, as you're rolling into the season. How are budgets looking? Are we in a strong position? But I think that it's something where if you're taking a year round approach to your budget rather than just up seasons here, got our fees, we're ready to roll, you're setting your coaches up for success. We would constantly have those conversations, both one-on-ones as well as like department wide. We were constantly looking at the budgets and ensuring that we were falling in line with what was projected. Obviously, there was always scenarios where things were more expensive than you thought they were going to be. And then there's scenarios, too, where maybe unfortunately a game got canceled, but then some of that money goes back to the budget. You know, so you had to be creative and you had to be flexible. The budget was something that you would go by. You know, it was basically your framework, but it wasn't rigid to the point where you didn't have some flexibility in order to take care of things that came up. And that was kind of the way that we tried to structure it with our coaches. How about you? I'm sure it was a little bit different in the setting you were in compared to mine, but how did you manage that?
Well, one thing I'll say that I appreciate you mentioned was like that not every family can afford sometimes if there's participation fees. And like, I'm just such a huge believer, education-based athletics, there should never be a situation where somebody can't participate because their family can't afford it. Man, like, there's enough of that in club sports in our society right now where people get shut out. But raising that money to scholarship kids, if you want to call it that, so that they can participate in education-based athletics, can't think of too many things more important than that. Yeah, I mean, listen, you said pretty much everything. There's unexpected challenges. You know, one of the things I'm going to ask you when it comes to budgeting, I wonder how other people approach this. I've seen like two very distinct ways where athletic directors deal with their coaching staff with the budget for the athletic department. And here's what I've seen, right? You have an overall, let's say, equipment budget for the year, and you probably have attributed a dollar amount, if not on paper in your head, to like, hey, the football team, their budget's this much. The girls' soccer team, their budget is this much. And I mean, in terms of equity and opportunity, that's going to be different based on equipment, how many kids, stuff like that. But do you say to your coach, listen, you have $8,000 to spend, create, you know, let me know what you need in terms of equipment? Or the other way I've seen it is an athletic director says to their coach, what do you need? Tell me what you need and prioritize what you need. And then the AD kind of goes through and starts to figure out where the money is going to go and what they're going to spend. I have my opinion on it, but I want to hear yours first.
You know, and I think that it's a great question to ask, because I'm going to go with somewhat of a hybrid was kind of how we handled this. Is one, we would have budgets to the point where, you know, there's line items to it, and you're, how much are you attributing to equipment? How much are you attributing to where I was at? Like, you know, you've got to build in travel expenses, or you've got to build in officiating fees, all those things that are, you know, necessary for you to be able to compete for your sport. I would sit down with the coaches and we would go through their budget and make sure that it made sense. And the other thing that we did that I was very fortunate to have was we had a phenomenal equipment manager, and he would do an audit annually of what was still available. So then we would sit there, and as you're going through a coach's budget, you have that with you as well. And the coach was provided it too. And it's like, hey, I know this girls soccer, you're going to order 150 pairs of socks. Well, it looks like your inventory still has 50 from last year. Can we bring that down a little bit? And I know that sounds almost borderline kind of like comical, because you're talking about like socks or mouthpieces or whatever, but those are dollars and they add up really quickly. So it was a little bit of a hybrid, was, you know, what do you need to be able to kind of guide them and help them in the decision-making process? And at the same time, like, how much money do you need to attribute to this? And then you can look at it from that perspective and find ways, just like any other, you know, business, if you will, you've got to find ways to reduce budget where you can without cutting back on the experience. So I think it's a little bit of a hybrid. One, identify what they are thinking they need, but then two, also working with them to be able to identify areas that they could maybe reduce some of their costs. Some of those veteran coaches, I mean, like, that's like a 15-minute meeting maybe, right? Because they've been running this for so long. They know exactly what they need. They know how to work every angle of their program. Some of the more novice coaches, you got to sit down and kind of do a little bit of handholding with them. So I think that it's a little bit in the middle on my end of how we managed it. How about yourself? How did you approach that?
Well, I mean, to start off, yeah, I think everybody's going to have budget with line items. It's just a matter of how much you share that with each coach and how much you involve them. Clearly, I think they would appreciate being involved, and so I think that's important. What I found was when I took my athletic director job, the previous AD had a really big budget, and I was lucky I had a nice size budget too, but he would say to coaches, let me know what you need. And what I found was, as like looking back, coaches completely underordered. They actually felt bad about spending too much money. And then in the end, like, there was extra money around that wasn't even necessary. So I found it actually better to say to a coach, you have $8,000. and you figure out what you need, and you're probably going to have this amount of money, let's say the next 2 years, unless something changes. So like, you need to have a 3-year plan. You need to have a 3 to 5 year plan probably for your program. And here's how much you're going to have. And I felt like it was more fair to the coaches to do it that way than to have them just say, here's what I need. Cause it didn't seem to me that they actually asked, which may surprise people. Maybe I'm wrong, but in my place, they actually asked for less than they needed.
And it was interesting for where I was at, because we had both ends of the spectrum. We had the end of the spectrum that's ordering 200 pairs of socks every year and you only need 50. And then you have the other end of the spectrum where they're trying to be as budget savvy as possible and you're not getting enough. So it is one of those items that is just ever evolving, and it's kind of always got to be top of mind when you're talking with your coaches, and you've got to train them, because so many of them, they're experts in their field, but they borderline are running their own, you know, business, if you will, in terms of like how they have to manage their funds and everything like that. And there's an education piece involved with that.
There is. And the last plug I'll put in here is there's actually software. If you don't have an equipment manager, even if you do probably, there's software out there that can help you manage like what's in stock, what a team should have, what equipment might be missing. And I mean, a good athletic director and a good like head of school or business should be asking those questions. Like, what is on stock if you're asking me for 200 pair of new socks? Like, what do you have? And should I be approving this if you already have that equipment in place?
Completely agree with you there. Like, leverage the technology that's available to you to try and make your life a little bit easier. And then you can quasi-automate that, right? You can pull reports and know, like, oh, okay, well, we did inventory. Here's what we got left. Let's not double order things that we don't need. That's a great point. Yeah. Next question for you. What are some of the unexpected challenges that you've seen kind of pop up during back to school season? How'd you handle them?
Too many. It would be my first answer, but in general, I think maybe it's security issues that might change. Maybe it's new staff. Like, I've seen that happen a bunch where you have a coach hired and they either leave the district, they get another job. Like, last minute coaching hires is real. You mentioned equipment not arriving. There's definitely a pivot there. If your equipment isn't in, like, what are you doing? And of course, I would say the better relationships you have with vendors, the more help you can get. I mean, I needed a couple football helmets 1 year, like extra large in terms of football helmets. And I actually had a guy who wasn't even my salesperson at the time, like I dealt with him in the past, who was able to like get me a couple of helmets last minute when my own vendor who I had been using couldn't. So like, relationships with vendors can be key there, or relationships with other athletic directors, because there's points where, you know what, like, I need a piece of equipment. I need something for my pole vault pit. I don't know. Like, there are ADs that surround you that may have extra at the time and maybe actually be able to lend it out to you as you're waiting for that product. So, I mean, like, I remember lacrosse nets. I couldn't get lacrosse gold nets quick enough. And one of my colleagues bailed me out because he had a whole bunch of extras around. And then I got them to him when the time came. So equipment's a real thing. And then last thing I'll mention would be like structural. There are times when you've tested your scoreboard, all of a sudden your scoreboard doesn't work. Something's going on with your bleachers. There's structural stuff just like in your own house that you can't really plan for. And there's times when you have to pivot based on those things. But obviously, the more you test, the more you check in advance, the more likelihood that you figure those things out earlier than later.
I think those are phenomenal ones to really kind of touch on. I'm going to fall in line with you in terms of, you know, items not arriving. That was always super stressful. We had 1 year where home uniforms didn't arrive in time. So then you got to coordinate with the athletic director that you're playing, even though it's our home contest. Hey, can you guys go darks and we go lights? I don't have my stuff here and it's not anticipated to be here until after our contest. So that becomes like the communication piece you have with your colleagues and the ADs that you're working directly with. I would say that one that I want to add in there that was always a stressor to me was the game management personnel and somebody last minute. You know, to your point with like coaching changes, we dealt with those, and those were always stressful in themselves, because then you're relying on whoever the number two was hey, can you step into this role? I'm going to be there to assist you. Whatever I need to do, I'm going to help out. That's always extremely stressful. But then the game management piece, there were times where we had people that were committed. They were on their way. They got stuck in traffic. Southern California, they can't do anything about that. They had to just deal with what they were dealing with. And there would be times where it's like, hey, I left way early. I had more than 2 hours to get here, but there's an accident on the freeway. What am I going to do? And you have to be able to make sure that you're versed enough to either A, yourself step in, or you have somebody that you're working with that you can rely on to be kind of that on call, if you will. Those were always kind of my big stressors. I remember when we would have contests in the beginning of the year, the thing I would always look for was the ambulance. Did the ambulance make it in time for the football game? And that was like one of the first things I'd check. I always knew what time they were showing up. Okay, the ambulance is down there. We're good. All right, I just saw that our announcer checked in, or I saw that, you know, our clock workers are there. Those were the things that are like behind the scenes that people don't realize that are real stressors, because then you've got to either step in yourself or find a way to manage it. So it's a big game of making sure that you are prepared for the unexpected. I know you and I have said this a lot. You've got to plan for the most random things happening, and that's the best way you can set yourself up for success as an AD.
And I think that's a good segue to new athletic directors. I met with one yesterday, and she was like, man, I'm drinking from a fire hose right now, and what can I do to try and like be ready to go? So talk to me a little bit about the approach maybe with a new athletic director as opposed to an experienced one here as at the beginning of seasons.
You know, like from a new AD perspective, the biggest piece of advice that I would always say is build relationships. Identify the people you need to build relationships, whether that's within the sport programs themselves. And I'm not just talking about the staffs. I'm talking about, you know, the boosters that are assisting, because they can lend a helping hand when needed. Working with your campus community and the various departments and getting to build relationships there, because maybe you can do them a favor by moving a practice to make their event more easily manageable. And on the flip side, they can help you out when maybe you're down a body. Hey, can you help me out? I just need you to be a ticket redeemer tonight or something like that. And you can start to call in favors when you build those relationships. Second, for new ADs, obviously we've spoken at length about pre-planning and ensuring that you have everything lined up, not only just from a calendar perspective, your budgets, your equipment, everything that is a part of those sport programs that is going to be necessary. Do your best to make sure that you have everything lined up for you to be successful, but also have a plan in place for when the unexpected happens. You know, equipment didn't arrive in time. Hey, did you build a relationship with that other vendor? Did you build a relationship with your existing vendor? And making sure that you have the personnel that you can reach out to for help, because as an AD, you're not doing this alone. There is an entire army behind you that is willing to assist you, but you've got to get to know them. You've got to build those relationships, because then they have a level of trust and they see the vision of what you're trying to accomplish for those student athletes. And once you've got that in place, you have some people that can assist you. So that would be what I would say for the new ADs. For the veteran ADs, and they're the ones that are savvy and they know what they're doing, I mean, you got to just keep being mindful and not fall asleep at the wheel, if you will. You know, because you start to do this so many years in a row, it almost becomes, at times, there's certain elements of it. Obviously, it's a job that is never the same day to day. There are elements, though, that almost kind of feel like, oh, it's a rinse and repeat. This is what I did last year. I'm going to do that again. Double check that. Double check to make sure, hey, this is my game management personnel. They'll be there. Did you contact them to ensure that they're signed up for this? Do you have all of your medical clearances done with the athletic training department? Are you sure about eligibility? You know, can you have all those things done? And just make sure that you're staying on top of the items that you already know how to do. Just don't let small things slip through the cracks, because then next thing you know, you got to go and explain to a football coach or a girls volleyball or whomever during the fall, hey, that was a great game. Unfortunately, I got bad news. We're going to forfeit it because that kid wasn't eligible. And you don't want to have that conversation. So for the newbies, I would definitely say those rookie ADs, relationships are very vital, and work on building them. I know it's difficult because you're so busy and you're drinking from that proverbial fire hose. Spend the time to get to know those that can really help elevate your department. And for the veterans, hey, you know what you're doing. People don't need to tell you how to do your job. Just stay on top of it like you do year after year. What about you, Scott?
Those veterans, I would say, like, avoid Groundhog Day syndrome, right? Where you get complacent. And I think those were fantastic answers. I really think so. Listen, for the new ADs, not everything's going to go right. There's going to be mistakes. Try and make sure that the critical ones aren't mistakes, like the bus, the ref, the schedule, the team arriving, not crossing on the highways. But you just got to, you have to expect that not everything's going to be perfect. Like, positivity, the energy that you put out to the universe as a new AD, and confidence, I think will go a long way, even when mistakes happen. How you handle a mistake becomes important, because they will come. And it's the honeymoon period. Let me say this loud and clear. As an AD that's new to a district, you are in the honeymoon period for things that you need. So ask. If you need something, you're probably not going to find a better time for somebody to approve stuff than when you're new. And so, whatever you need, I would not be shy about asking for those things right then, and then work towards them if you get a no.
Absolutely. I think that those are great points. And I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. I do like your new location. It's pretty, it's got a nice ambiance to it. Maybe we have you start going down there and you got to do travel all the time. We just have you be the traveling roadshow, if you will.
Local Cafe, LOKL, Morristown, New Jersey. I'm not getting paid for that. Good place.
Oh, well, that would fall into our name, image, likeness episode that we had talked about, working with those local businesses. Scott, well played, my friend.
Thanks, man. Listen, enjoy what time is left in the summer to everybody out there. I also think that we're going to have a preseason meeting template available for ADs. We have one. We're just going to clean it up a little bit. And if somebody is, again, looking to not reinvent the wheel, grab our template. If not, use AI to create your own template like we've talked about in the past. You don't need to just create everything yourself.
Fantastic. As always, Scott, really appreciate you joining me today. It's always fun chatting with you. That's going to be a wrap for this episode. We appreciate you all joining us today and listening into what we had to say as it relates to back to school. With the school year right around the corner, I think it'd be we're hoping that you all have a great start to the school year and that you do enjoy the fleeting moments of summer that are left. I'm sure some of you are already back in the full swing of things. So really appreciate it. I had fun today, Scott. How about you?
Always. Thanks, man.
Fantastic. Well, in closing, if you liked what you heard today, stay tuned for future episodes. Make sure you follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're viewing or listening your podcast from. We don't want you to miss any new episodes. So in closing, from AD360, I'm Greg Vandermeid.
Scott Rosenberg. Thanks, everyone.
Until next time, everyone. Thank you.